Good evening. Brother John has asked that we read from Luke 6, from verse 47 to 49. And he just informed me that he can't see the clock in the back. So if he runs a little bit late, it's probably my fault because I was supposed to give him the signal when it's getting close to closing time. Either I dozed off or spaced out or wasn't paying attention. So don't get wound up at him. Yell at me, I guess. So now reading from verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, which shall you to whom he is like? He is like a man which buildeth a house and diggeth deep and layeth the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arise, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for the foundation was laid upon rock. But he that heareth and do not the it like a man that I'm going to get it here eventually. But he that heareth and doeth not, it is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, again which the storms did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin that house was great. With these thoughts on our mind, let's come before the Lord in prayer.
We too would like to say good evening and welcome everyone to the Lord's house. It's such a blessing to see so many youth that have come out tonight. And I think if we would do a tally, youths would have the majority. If you don't, it's really, really close to the company here tonight. So thanks for coming out. And I can only imagine God sitting on his throne and looking down and smiling. Smiling to see this many young people wanting to learn more of God, wanting to live a life closer to him. As an introduction, as we move toward the text, I'd like to start with, since the fall from the garden, as Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, with that event, there is a void in every human being's heart that is born into this life. And God is longing to fill that void. God is longing to come into your life and fill that vacancy with his presence. But we have an adversary. Satan also is at war for our soul. Satan is also at war to fill that spot. But as I shared earlier this week, and I'll say it again, Satan has nothing to offer us. Satan is the father of lies. He's a thief. And we want nothing to do with him. Tricks, not gifts. Satan possesses no true lasting gifts. Only tricks that aim to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything obtained from this source is considered temporary and often results in future eternal loss. The power of lies. The devil is described as a father of lies, and his power is based on deception. He has no real power to harm a believer unless they believe his lies. No legal right. For those who are in Christ, it is stated that Satan has no legal authority or power, as believers belong to God. The goal is destruction. Any apparent gain offered by Satan is a trap with the aim of ruining a person's life, peace, and joy. Opposing viewpoint. An alternative motivational perspective notes that Satan does not fight a man who has nothing to offer, suggesting that opposition is a sign of your latent potential and value. Again, I say Satan has nothing to offer the child of God, or even those that are seeking God. Satan has nothing. The only thing he has to offer you is a bag full of lies and tricks to get you to fall for his folly. And on the contrast to what we just read there, God, on the other hand, offers salvation and eternal life to each of us. You see, God had no choice but to force mankind out of the garden as they disobeyed. But that's not the end of the story tonight. Praise God, He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to come into the world, to love us, to die for us, and to redeem us back to God with the relationship with Jesus Christ. So as God has brought us into this world, He is longing to bring us back to heaven. Again, He had no choice but to send them out of the garden. But with that, He made a way, and He's longing, He's waiting to redeem each of us back into a home to heaven to be with Him. Years ago, actually, it was a youth night at where we attended at one time, and there was a man there. Actually, if I'd say his name, some of you would know him, at least from Upton. But anyway, he had Homer pigeons. Anybody know what a Homer pigeon is? Yeah, some of you. And they would send these pigeons sometimes to another state, another county, wherever, and they'd release them and they'd race back to their home. And this boy had a couple of them, and he came up to me and said, "Hey, John," this was after the activities. He said, "I got some Homer pigeons and I'd like to send them home with you. And then tomorrow morning you let them loose." So he was at least 2 hours. He was in Lebanon County. We were in Franklin. So he was a good hour and a half, 2 hours from us. So come about 10 o'clock Saturday morning, I went out in the front yard. I left these pigeons loose. And they left the house, and we live right there on the farm. So they went down, and they got hung up at the silo with the barn pigeons. Now, they never landed. They flew around. I thought, well, this is the end of this. But they never landed. About a minute or two later, they took off. Somewhere between 11:30 and 12 o'clock, Adam called me. He said, "Hey, John, the pigeons are home." I marvel at that, how God created that animal. But my thought is, not that I don't want to compare us to pigeons, but God was forced to release us into this world. And He's longing. He's longing, brothers and sisters. He's longing, young folks, to bring you back to Him in heaven. First, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You see, Jesus made provision. Ephesians 1, chapter verses 3 through 9. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." God has nothing but good, great, wonderful, abundant, bountiful blessings for the child of God. And I want to zoom in. I want to zoom in on verse 6. You know, Satan will fill your mind with trashy thoughts. He'll fill your mind with thoughts that, you know, you messed up, you failed, you're worthless. But here this verse blesses me, and it's a promise to all of us. "Wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved." He predestinated us. In other words, He made a way of salvation that we can come back to God and be children and heirs with Him. But the thought that, you know, just the, He calls us beloved. We're priceless to Him, and I want to drive that. If you don't take anything home, take that home with you. Jesus died for us. He did everything possible He could for us to bring us back to Him. And the thought of spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I can't even begin to explain that. But it's something we can experience. It's something that we can make part of our lives. He hath made us accepted in the beloved, his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God loves each of you. God wants each of you. And God has a plan for each of you. And I just have a couple verses just to confirm what I'm saying tonight about God and who he is and how he loves us. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. Gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thee thy seed from the east and to gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made them. I know this is talking about Jacob, but I believe as children of God, we can claim these promises too. Isaiah 49, verse 16. It says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of mine hand. Thy walls are continually before me. I want to suggest to you tonight, every time God looks at his hands, he thinks of you. He thinks of you. He thinks of you. I believe that. We are graven on the palm of his hand. Psalms 139. Psalms 139, verses 13. Thirteen to 14 says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knoweth right well. Verse 17 and 18, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Have you ever tried to count the sand on a seashore? Yeah, have a good day, right? It's impossible. It's impossible. But here, the psalmist says, that's how often you and I are on his mind. That's how often you and I, he thinks of. Jeremiah 1, verse 5. I'm sorry, I thought I had this in Mark. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. And I am convinced this evening that God formed you for a purpose. God allowed you to be born to bring honor and glory and praise to him. Before you were formed, he had a plan for you. And he has a plan for you. And I trust that you would seek the Lord, live for him. And as that plan reveals itself, that you would be willing to fulfill that as he speaks in your life. I got this here from a friend of mine. I know it's probably going to be hard for you to see, but you know, on the outside, this looks like an ugly old stone, don't it? But you see, when you cut that stone open, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? And that's, you know, again, That's how Satan will work. He'll tell you you're just an ugly old stone. You're just a piece of trash. But God sees the beauty that only He gives on the inside. He sees that in each one of us, and He wants to use it. My encouragement is come to Jesus and build your life on Him and His Word. Now let's go to the text. Start your life outright with Jesus Christ. The thought of, as Brother Greg read to us there, a man that built his house and dig as deep is compared to a foundation on a rock, a good foundation. And the importance of that is, brothers and sisters, when we built the house, we built a chimney on it, and I knew I needed a good base for it. So we dug down at least 2 feet on some of the hardest shale that's in Franklin County. Trust me, I tried to dig enough holes and it's hard shale. But anyway, we filled that with concrete. We filled that with rebar. And over time, that thing still evidently settled a little bit. And we got a crack or so in our stones. So it's so important, as it says here, that we dig deep and we build on the rock, Christ Jesus. Real quickly, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, a couple of verses here. Starting at verse 15. Jesus is asking the disciples here, I think namely Peter, or at least Peter answers him, but he asks them, whom do men say that the Son of Man is? And they come up with different answers. And then he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to suggest to you tonight, the rock that Jesus is talking about is Peter's acknowledgement that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to stress the importance tonight that that's where each of us have to come. We need to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and allow Him into our lives and build our earthly houses, build our lives on the fact that Jesus is my King. We need to start right. And I just got a couple illustrations here. Any of you that are builders, how important is it to get a wall straight? How important is it to get a footer straight level? Go ahead and say it. It's very important. And you know, if your wall is off a quarter inch in 1 foot, guess what? It's off an inch at 4 feet. It's off 2 inches at 8 feet. So the farther you go on a bad start, the farther away you're going to get from the truth and from Jesus. And I didn't do the, Greg would probably know, but you know, if your gun's off at a short distance, if it's off at a quarter inch at 25 and at about an inch at 100. But at any rate, my thought tonight is it's so important that we start right. Give our hearts and lives to Jesus sooner than later. Because you don't want to give Satan an advantage. He'll already take every advantage he can. But the sooner we can commit our lives to Jesus, the sooner we can build on Him. As you live your life, you're going to make decisions. My question is, what is the end result of those decisions? Every action creates a reaction. You know, one casual drink continued leads to an alcoholic. One cigarette leads to a chain smoker. One anger fit, if not controlled, it's going to lead to murder. It's going to lead to bad things. One lustful look leads to fornication, to adultery. I challenge us, don't build on the folly and filth of this world, which I believe is what the second house is talking about. They build on sand. They didn't even dig a footer. I don't even think they gave a whole lot of thought to it. Hey, here looks like a cool place to put a house. Let's just build one. And I wanted to bring an illustration. I did this before. I put a rock in a container, and I put a sandcastle in a container, and then make believe the storm came and dumped the water in, and it was amazing how fast the sand just dissolved to nothing. But the rock stood firm. The rock stayed there. Just a couple verses as we start right. I encourage us to live right. Ephesians 2. Again, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Pretty easy to understand, but I want us to realize that God did not just put us here to take up space. God did not just put us here to fill in idle time. We are his workmanship. We are created to bring honor and glory to him, reach out to the lost around us. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 10. It says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent them not." In other words, don't pay no mind to them. Like we shared with the children last night, if somebody comes up and dares you to do something, or offers you money or a treat to do something bad to someone, the Bible says here, consent them not. Proverbs 3, verses 6. It says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Proverbs 4, 13 and 14. It says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil." So as we build our house, and again, if we compare it to our earthly houses, you guys that have cars, pickup trucks, whatever, you do your best to keep it clean. You do your best to keep it nice. And if one of your friends or somebody borrows it and it comes back dirty, it irritates you, don't it? Like, why didn't you keep it clean for me? I believe the Bible, the scripture is pleading with us here, all of us, that as we live our lives, that we would live a good life. We would do what's right. We would protect our soul. Verses 22 and 27 in that same chapter, "For they are life." Okay, it's talking about wisdom. Verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and healing, health to all their flesh." I don't know, it seems like never before we live in a health-crazy world. I mean, my wife, she fusses if I eat chips, or I can't drink soda, and I might get fatter, you know. We live in a health crazy world. But here, we can obey and trust and do all the Lord's will all we want. They're our life, they're our health. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far away from thee. Let not thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Thank you. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Again, as you make a decision, where is this decision going to lead me? Is it going to draw me close to God? Or is it going to draw me farther away from God? And this thought of turn not to the right, to the left. You know, sometimes I pity, we live there in Franklin County. There's some, I'm not sure what they're called, Team Mennonite or something. But there's even some Amish there. And you know, they have to put eyelids on their horses so they can't see around. But, you know, that helps them keep to go straight. And while that's a good idea, I think that's what he's challenging us here. But, you know, I feel God's desire for us would be that we would possess him in our hearts, that we would determine in our heart and minds that we're going to serve him. Not indicating that the horse don't need the eye things, but I think it's so much better if from a heart of gratitude, a heart of goodness back towards God, that we would just automatically live for him. Maybe we wouldn't need my point is we need to get the root of the problem. Like whatever comes to my hand and to my feet, it originates in the mind and works its way to its heart. So we got to screen those things that would turn us to the right or to the left to keep us on the straight and narrow. I'm going to real quickly, let's turn to Psalms 119, and we're just going to brush through a couple scriptures here, and maybe I'll give you some homework. Take these home and maybe this week ponder over them. But Psalms 119, the first three verses: blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. This is indicating that we live right. This is indicating we live a life for Jesus. Verse 9 and 10, withal should a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verses 101 through 105. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, and I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I would plead with us tonight that we read God's word, that we make it reality in our lives, that we make it something we desire for. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I like honey, but I'd rather have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with milk, right? Well, here is the word of God that sweet to us? Is the word of God something we desire that much? As we wrap this up, Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. It says, and this king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile him. And as we read through the rest of the story, if I got the account right, they actually refused what the king gave them, normal stuff. And these men, at the end of the time period, were better looking, better built, better nourished than those that feasted on the king's thing. The three Hebrew boys were in a strange land, and the king wanted them to eat of the strange food, but they refused. So we are living in a strange land, and neither should we partake of the strange food that Satan would try to offer us that would defile our souls. One more, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And these are verses just challenging us as God's children. This is directed to the youth, and I think I'm still a youth, so I'm going to apply it to me too. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit and faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So I'm going to suggest to you tonight, like I said earlier, you know, God has created each of us with a gift, with a purpose to live for him. And I believe that's what he's telling us here to do, to fulfill that calling. And as we read over these verses to live right, we got the foundation right. We got Jesus in our hearts. We're living for him. And then as we go through life, we want to do what he tells us. That's finishing out the framework of the house. So as we start right and we live right, I believe we can end right. Allow God and his word to define you, not the things of this world. So tonight, as we give an invitation to him, I'm going to read something here. And this is only made reality if Jesus Christ is your Savior. It says, when you were born, you were crying, and everyone around you was smiling. Oh, yeah, look at little Johnny. He's smiling, and he's so cute. He's crying. Anyway, I want you to live your life so at the end, you're the one smiling, and everyone else is crying. I want to read that again. When you were born, you were crying, and everyone around you was smiling. Live your life so at the end, you're the one smiling in the presence of an almighty God, and everybody else is crying. Again, tonight, that is only possible if Jesus Christ is in your heart. The ticket's available. He paid the price. It's up to you tonight. Will you let him in your heart? What shall we sing? 125. Thank you again tonight for your good attention. Let's stand, and Brother Duane will lead us in a closing prayer.